There are two words that I want us to focus on during our lesson this morning. The first word is joy. In Romans chapter 14, verse number 17, the Apostle Paul says that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. There is joy in being a child of God. Paul would go on to say in Romans chapter 15, verse number 13, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." Again, there is joy in believing. What makes the Christian life so full of joy, however, is the fellowship that we have with God and with one another. That's the second word that we're going to be focusing on, fellowship. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. And as you read 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 with me, we perhaps have one of the greatest definitions on this concept of fellowship. The Apostle John was writing Christians in verse number 3 when he says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." I want you to go back and look at verse 3 carefully. First of all, the Apostle John talks about the fellowship that they had with one another. And then secondly, he talks about the fellowship that these Christians had with God. As I said, I believe this perhaps is one of the greatest passages on this concept of fellowship. And when we begin to break down fellowship, we see in this verse that fellowship is vertical. Our fellowship is with God. And fellowship is attained when we obey the gospel. In Romans 6, verse 17, Paul says, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine." That form of doctrine is the gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. And it's the gospel that is God's power unto salvation, Romans 1, verse number 16. And so when a person obeys the gospel and is baptized into Christ, Romans 6, 3 through 4, they are delivered from the shackles of sin and they enter into a covenant relationship with God. Again, fellowship attained with God through the gospel. But then when we turn over here to 1 John chapter 1, we're reading about how to maintain fellowship with God. And we maintain fellowship with God as we walk in the light. And as we walk in the light, verse 7, "As He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." John would go on to explain that sin is something that we continue to struggle with even as New Testament Christians. Sin is a fact of our past, but now as a child of God, sin is a fight in the present. And so as we walk in the light, we maintain fellowship with God. We have that continual cleansing of the blood of Christ that allows us to maintain that fellowship with God. But again, go back to 1 John 1, verse 3. The Apostle John also talks about that horizontal aspect of fellowship. He says that we have fellowship with one another. You see, those who have fellowship with God are also in fellowship with one another. And this is such a beautiful term to comprehend and understand. But I want you to see the connection between fellowship and joy. Why does fellowship bring joy? That's what we're going to be answering this morning with the short time that we have together. Fellowship brings joy because, number one, it surrounds us with people who are like-minded. It surrounds us with people who are unified. You see, that's what we're experiencing this morning. We have people from all different areas coming together as the body of Christ, being like-minded, being united. As the Apostle Peter would say, we are like-minded. We are like-minded because of the gospel of Christ. Because of the gospel, we attain a like precious faith. Only through the gospel can we attain this like precious faith. Only through the gospel can we truly be united together. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to John chapter 17. And John chapter 17 is a familiar context. And I want to begin reading in John chapter 17, verse number 20. Fellowship brings joy because it surrounds us with people who are like-minded, who are unified. That's what Jesus prayed about in John chapter 17, verse 20 and 21. He says in verse 20, neither pray I for these alone. Not only was he praying for his apostles, but he was praying for those of the like precious faith. Now, again, he says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. As we think about this concept of fellowship, being in fellowship with one another, being like-minded, being unified is achieved, as you can see in verse number 20, through the Word of God. Without the Word, there would be no unity. And if there isn't any unity, there isn't any fellowship. Fellowship brings joy because we are like-minded. We believe the same thing. We follow the same thing. In Psalm 133, verse 1, the psalmist says, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. Here's our word, in unity. This is something that God desires. This is something that you and I should desire. And when there's that unity among the brethren, there's going to be fellowship. And again, when there's fellowship, there's going to be joy. It's fellowship with God. It's fellowship with one another that brings joy and peace and happiness to our lives. And we should appreciate these times. I know it's tight in here, but we should appreciate the times where we come together as the family of God, because it reminds us of what Jesus prayed for. Notice another context, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul talks about this fellowship, this unity that we have with one another that brings joy to our life. Fellowship brings joy because it surrounds us with people who are unified, who are like-minded. Now notice with me, in Ephesians chapter 4, I'll begin reading at verse 1. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, that ye walk worthy of your vocation, wherewith ye are called, notice how, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. That tells me that unity is relational. How we treat one another matters. It promotes unity. It promotes fellowship. But then we read about the doctrinal aspect of unity in verse number 4. There is one body. There is one church. And one Spirit that revealed the Word of God. And Paul goes on to say, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One body, one Spirit, one hope. Verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all. Again, if there's going to be unity among the brethren, we have to have the right doctrine. We have to have the right doctrine. In unity, verse number 3, it is something that we must strive for, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Unity isn't going to happen by accident. It's something that we must strive for by abiding in the doctrine of Christ. In 2 John 9 through 11, whosoever abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. That's a fellowship passage. If we don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, there is no fellowship with God. There is no vertical fellowship. If there isn't any vertical fellowship, there isn't fellowship horizontally with one another. We began to see how important the doctrine of Christ is. Why we must endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit of peace. Why we must abide in the doctrine. Because when we abide in the doctrine, we protect the fellowship. And when we protect the fellowship, we experience the joy of being like-minded. We experience the joy of unity. And this is all part of God's plan. You know why discord, Proverbs 6, verse 19, is an abomination to the Lord? Again, discord among the brethren is an abomination to the Lord because, number one, it destroys fellowship and it robs us of the joy that we can have. And so this morning, as we think about this beautiful concept of fellowship, fellowship brings joy because it surrounds us with people who are like-minded, who are following the same thing, who are following the same doctrine. This was a problem for the church. In fact, if you would, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We see that Paul is writing the congregation at Corinth, and he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10, now I beseech you. Again, Paul is pleading and he's urging these brethren. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says. That ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Paul says, I want you to speak the same thing. I want you to be of the same mind, of the same judgment. Unity, like-mindedness. But that can only be achieved again by abiding in the doctrine of Christ. That's why, again, Paul says there should be no divisions among you. And so, again, it's fellowship with one another that brings joy because it surrounds us with people of the like precious faith. But number two, fellowship brings joy because it surrounds us with people who are walking in truth. Again, who are walking in truth. In 3 John verse 4, the Apostle John says, I have no greater joy than to hear or see my children walking in truth. You think about the time period. The Apostle John, also known as the Apostle of Love, is a much older man as he writes this epistle. And as he looks at the church and as he looks at the people of God, there wasn't anything greater than to see Christians walking in the truth of God's Word. Again, fellowship brings joy because it surrounds us with people who are striving to be the way God wants us to be. Because it surrounds us with the children of God. And there's nothing more encouraging than to see other Christians following the Word of God. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians. And I want you to see something here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Something that I've missed for a long time, because it's easy to read through this and miss what is being said. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, I want to begin at verse 7, and then we're going to work our way back to chapter 1. But these verses really support this point about walking in truth and what that does. Here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7, the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress." Notice this. By your faith. Prior to this verse, Paul talks about the affliction and the hardship these Christians were facing. And Paul was concerned for these brethren. When you go back to Acts chapter 17, Paul was in the city of Thessalonica for just a short time. But while he was there, the Lord's church was established, but there arose a great persecution. And remember, Paul and Silas and Timothy, they would then have to go to Berea because of the persecution. And Paul was very concerned for this congregation, for their spiritual well-being. And that's why Paul would then send Timothy back to Thessalonica to establish these brethren, to help these brethren grow in the faith. And Paul receives word from Timothy. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 6, he receives good news, glad tidings, that these brethren continued in their faith and in their love for one another and their love for God. Paul heard that these Christians, even in the midst of adversity, they were still walking in the truth. Now notice what that knowledge does. It does something for the Apostle Paul. As we look at verse number 7, "Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you and all of our affliction and distress by your faith." You see, Paul faced hardships. He faced afflictions and trials and temptations like the brethren at Thessalonica. But when the Apostle Paul saw these Christians holding up underneath that adversity, go back and read chapters 1 and 2, that encouraged Paul to be faithful. It motivated him to be strong in the Lord. Notice that what he says in verse 8, "For now we live if we stand fast in the faith." What encouraged Paul to stand fast in the faith in the midst of hardships and persecutions? It was these brethren enduring the same afflictions. It was these brethren who were walking in the truth. And so as we think about this point, fellowship brings joy because it surrounds us with people who are walking in the truth. And that is so encouraging. Had the opportunity to eat with a man of the like precious faith this week. And you know, as we talked, we talked about our challenges. And you know, I went away that day thinking about, you know, here's a Christian brother who has challenges just like me. He has to face temptation just like me. And he has things going on in his life with his family just like me. And as I was sitting there talking with him, convincing him to buy me breakfast, I realized that we had a lot of common ground. You know what that common ground was? It was Christianity. It was what we believed. It is the book that we follow. And listening him work through his challenges motivated me to be stronger in the Lord. The point that I'm making, I'm going to have trials. You're going to have trials. You're going to face temptation. I'm going to face temptation. But when we strive to follow God and to follow His Word, and when we allow His Word to be a part of our lives, we're going to let our light shine, and we feed off of one another. We encourage one another. And we experience the joy through the fellowship that we have through Jesus Christ. You see, when we are walking in the truth, when we're unified as brethren, we fill our cups with joy. Fellowship brings joy when there's unity. Fellowship brings joy when other Christians are following the Word of God. But I'll also say something that can be negative. There is nothing more disheartening when you see a child of God depart from the faith. Read 2 Peter chapter 2, 20 through 22. Can you imagine Paul as he's coming to the end of his life in the book of 2 Timothy? I believe it's the last epistle he probably wrote by inspiration. And in 2 Timothy 4, verse number 10, Demas hath forsaken me, loving this present world. Do you realize that information about Demas broke his heart? You see, what encourages us, walking in the truth, can sometimes discourage us when we see Christians falling away from the truth. Don't throw in the spiritual towel. You be faithful to God. You walk in the truth, and you will encourage others to be more faithful. We see that with Paul. We see that with the brethren at Thessalonica. Notice point number 3. Fellowship brings joy because we serve one another. Because we serve one another. Let's turn over to the book of Philippians. There are so many different passages we can turn to as we think about this third point. But Philippians chapter 2 really exhorts us to put others first, because that's what Jesus did. In Luke 22, verse 27, Jesus said, I'm among you as he that serveth. And the apostles were always debating and talking about who would be the greatest in the kingdom of God. Matthew 20, verse 26 through 28, Jesus said, whosoever shall be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life for a ransom. Those two contexts need to be written down here by Philippians chapter 2, because you're going to see the main point in verse 5. Beginning at Philippians 2, verse 1, Paul says, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Verse number 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Watch verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's the mind that Paul had. You see that in Philippians chapter 1, verse 24, when he says, nevertheless, chapter 1, verse 24, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. You know, if I was sitting in a Roman prison cell where it would be wet and cold like Paul, I would want to go home and be with the Lord, wouldn't you? That was Paul's desire, to go home and to be with the Lord. Verse 21, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. For the child of God, that's what death is. Death is to go home and be with the Lord. And there's a sense where all of us, we want to go home and be with the Lord. But listen to me. Paul wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about the brethren at Philippi, verse 24. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. I wish we would all just get that point. Because we can be so selfish. Sometimes we want to be the center of attention. And we don't need to be the center of attention. We need to be thinking about our Lord. We need to be thinking about our brethren. And how we can serve them. This is a beautiful chapter on servitude. In fact, you read about Paul in Philippians chapter 1. In chapter 2, verse 20, you read about Timothy, verse 20, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally not care for himself, but care, notice, for you. In chapter 2, verse 26, we read about another great servant of the Lord by the name of Epaphroditus. All of these individuals serve the Lord, therefore they serve one another. One of the greatest ways Jesus demonstrated servitude, I believe, in my opinion, is when He got down on His knees and washed His disciples' feet. I hope all of us have that type of attitude. Thinking of others. How can I serve you? How can I help you? I'm concerned for you. I want to know what is going on in your life because I want to help you spiritually speaking. And you know what we're talking about? Fellowship is a reciprocal act. You see, if I'm caring for you, and you're caring for me, there's going to be fellowship. And when there's fellowship, there's going to be joy. Fellowship brings joy when there's unity, when there's Christians who are walking in the truth, when Christians are serving one another. But finally, fellowship brings joy because it surrounds us with people who bear one another's burdens. Who bear one another's burdens. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Galatians. Listen to what Paul says here in Galatians chapter 6. This will be the last point. The lesson will be yours. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Look at verse 2. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. But drop down to verse 5. For every man shall bear his own burden. You see, there are some burdens that we must bear on our own. I can encourage somebody to obey the gospel, but I can't force them, you see. I can encourage Christians to walk in truth, but I can't force them. There's a sense in Philippians 2, verse 12, where, you know what? We have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We have to be the ones to determine we're going to be like Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so there's a certain responsibility that we must all bear on our own. But as you read the beginning of chapter 6, there is a burden that we are to help one another bear. Now, some have have looked at Galatians chapter 6, along with Galatians 6, verse 10, as you therefore have opportunity to do good, do good to all men, especially of them who are the household of faith. It will apply Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, in a physical way, helping our brethren with their physical needs. And there's nothing wrong with looking at this passage and making that application. The principles are there for sure. 1 John 3, verses 17, 18. Whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion. John says, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in deed, but in truth, but in deed. You put that love into action. And so there are times where we see brethren who are in physical need and we can help them bear that burden. That certainly applies here in the context, doesn't it? But as you look at the context a little closer, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, helps us to me understand that burden that we are to bear. Again, he says, brethren, and if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore. And so there could be a physical burden that we can help our brethren bear. But I believe here Paul is talking about that spiritual burden that we are to help one another bear. You see, there are times where one Christian can be overtaken in sin. And when you and I have that knowledge of that happening to that individual, that brother or sister in Christ, again, we have that responsibility toward one another. James put it like this in James 5, 19 and 20. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. You and I have that responsibility to bear one another's burden. If you see me being overcome by temptation, you have that godly responsibility, that godly duty to reach out to me and to help me to be stronger, to come to my spiritual senses like we see with the parable of the prodigal son. You know, that story teaches us so many valuable truths. That son came home because he came to his spiritual senses and he put his name on his sin and he repented of his sin. Sometimes as Christians we need to be encouraged to repent of sin. But again, as we think about fellowship brings joy because it surrounds us with people who really care about others going to heaven. If you go to a brother, if you go to a sister that's overtaken in a fault, it's because you care. 1 Peter 4, verse 8, love covers a multitude of sins. But I promise you, it'll be the hardest thing that you ever do. To go to a brother, to go to a sister, to talk to them about their life, to confront them about their sin, like we see with Nathan and David. You remember what Nathan told David? For thou art the man. And that wouldn't be an easy thing to do. It takes courage. But I'm convinced when we understand the beauty of fellowship, it's going to encourage all of us to be our brother's keeper, to watch out for one another, because that is the responsibility that we have as New Testament Christians. Again, the Christian life is full of joy because of the fellowship that we have with God and that we have with one another. And we can fill our cups with joy when there's unity, when there's Christians walking in truth, when Christians are serving one another, and when Christians are helping one another bear that load. The lesson is yours. It might be that there's someone here this morning who's never obeyed the gospel. We want you to know the fellowship that you can have with God by obeying the gospel. It might be that you are a child of God. Perhaps you've been struggling in your Christian life. Perhaps you need to restore the fellowship that you once had. We would love to sit down and talk with you, to pray with you, pray for you, to help you along the way. If there's anything that we can do this morning to help you in your spiritual life, won't you please come right now as we stand and as we sing.